Welcome to Ghostbusters, the radio show that talks about strange things in the neighborhood and weird stuff that don't look good. Talk about stuff that's messing with your head and crazy stuff that's happening in the bed. Why? Because many church folks are falling into darkness. The Bible calls us to walk as children of light. The Bible says, see then that you walk circumspectly. Not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to Ghostbusters, the radio show that talks about strange things in the neighborhood and weird stuff that don't look good. One of the things, ladies and gentlemen, that's happening today in the neighborhood is that we got two different religions that is trying to merge and come together. I'm saying two different religions. I'm not talking about, you know, different denominations. Back in the 90s, during the Promise Keepers movement, that various denominations says, you know, we're going to try to come together. Yeah, but that's Christian denomination. That's Christians denominations coming, like the Methodists and the Baptists said, we're going to tear down the walls between the Baptists and the Methodists, and we're going to come together. We're going to tear down the walls between the Pentecostals and the Lutherans, and we're going to come together. But that, you know, I can understand they're trying to, you know, do some of that, because, you know, you're still worshiping the same God. You're still worshiping, you know, even though the Baptists may believe in baptism by immersion, you know, where you got to dunk the person fully in the water. The Methodists, they say you can sprinkle the water over a person's head, and that's for baptism. Well, you know, those little things like that, that's not going to send nobody, put nobody in heaven, or going to send nobody to hell over just how you baptize folks. But if you get the wrong God, if you are worshiping the wrong God, then that can send you to hell. And that's one of the problems that we're having today with Christianity and Islam coming together. They are saying that, you know, let's just forget about our differences, because we both worship the same God. But I tell you the truth, we don't both worship the same God. There's a difference between the God of Christianity and the God of Islam. The God of Islam, they'll tell you, when you go into a Muslim temple, that Allah is one God, and Allah has no son. But in Christianity, we believe in the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. So, you know, I don't know how you can come together, because one believe that God has a son, and the other one don't believe that God has a son. So that tells you right there, we don't believe in the same God. But Christianity and Islam is trying to come together. But we got a guy, a former Muslim who is now Christian. He's exposing this lie. He's going around the world and he's teaching against Chrislam. And he was a former Muslim. So I want you to hear it for yourself. So get close to your radio and listen as Sharon Hardy exposes Chrislam.
I think we have a few technical problems back there. I, I did tell you that Shahram is a Christian pastor, and but he was born in the country of Iran, and his family immigrated to the U.S. When he was 7, and he came to a realization later in life that Christianity is true and Islam is not. So now he's on fire for the Lord, and he explains what the difference is between Christianity and Islam. And as the topic is Chrislam exposed, there are movements even within Christianity to try to say that Christianity and Islam worship the same God. Allah and Jehovah are the same God. And the purpose of Shahram's talk tonight is to expose that as a lie, and he'll explain why. So as soon as they figure out that, come on up, Sean. Okay, let's give him an introduction.
All right, you guys can hear me okay? So I can hear myself, that's always a good sign. Although some people don't want to hear me. Well, thank you for that introduction. And just on the screen there, because we're a little bit tight for time tonight, I just have a little bit about my background that you can look at. And as Heinz mentioned, coming from Iran and becoming a believer in Jesus Christ 15 years ago, I'm going to be talking tonight during this presentation a little bit about my testimony. So I'll be kind of interweaving my testimony in and out of this, because it's obviously my story, and it's what is real to me and what God did in my life, what the Lord did. Just a little bit about my background also as far as being a pastor. I've been a pastor now for 13 years, currently pastor of a church in South Everett. We're going to be actually starting another church out in Spokane Valley here soon that's connected with the Truth and Love ministry, both with the TIL Project, which is what the ministry that I travel and speak with, but also our church, Truth and Love Christian Fellowship. Some of you may remember, last time I was here at Atonement Free Lutheran was when I was actually running for governor. And some of you may remember that I ran for governor, and that was an amazing experience. We prayed that more people would have stood up with us, but it didn't happen. But God has a plan, and he opened up many doors. So I want to just tell you a little bit before we go into the presentation about our ministry, the TIL Project. It's a very simple mission: to speak the truth in love. It's what we're commanded to do. And today, more than ever, it's critical, I believe, because it's getting harder and harder for us, particularly as Christians, to speak the truth in love. And I think for the next generation, it's going to get even harder. We're going to have to empower the next generation to have that much more of a backbone and desire to obey God and remain and abide in Christ more than ever. Because what I'm seeing is that some of the greatest fire sort of attacks against me are coming from other Christians, are coming from within the church community, because I am now not loving, and I'm now, you know, too judgmental and too fundamentalist, and all because I want to follow the Word of God. So it's amazing where we're at. By the way, if you find the verse in the Bible that allows us to be politically correct, please email that to me. I have not found that verse yet. So I'm still looking, but I doubt that it's going to be there. We are commanded to speak the truth in love. And by the way, remember the Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 4, it is so that we're not like little children, tossed about by the waves and by the trickery of men and the scheming that is around us. And I think there's great deception through our ministry. Now, just a couple of DVDs that I want to talk about. As Heinz mentioned, we do have a DVD that I've done on the true goal of Islam, some of the foundational ideology of Islam and Sharia law. That's on the back table. They're available. I have another DVD that I did on restoring our constitutional republic, what kind of a foundation we had. And if we have any chance in this nation of turning anything around, if God is not central to that, then we have no chance, because that's the way it was built. We must have a foundation that is on God and on his principles as a nation. And then lastly, the DVD tonight, or the presentation tonight, is on DVD. This is going to be like drinking from a fire hydrant for some of you, so we're going to go through very fast, but there's more information on the DVD, and there's also some special features that include my testimony I have a testimony of two other former Muslims who've come out of Islam. I highly would recommend you getting this and getting it into the hands of your pastors, your mission leaders. A lot of what I'm going to be talking about is the prevalent worldview now. Myself, I'm like a dinosaur in the missions community because I will not compromise on the issues that we're going to be talking about tonight. They're looking at me like, you know, you're backwards. You're not moving forward with the program. You just got to get with the program. And you will see that some of these things, there's no room for compromise. So I highly encourage that. Now, I want to get into the presentation because we got to get moving. Three verses that I want to share with you. Number one, the Apostle Paul, 2 Timothy. I believe this is so true. If not today, I don't know when. For the time will come when they, now remember the they is the believers, right? He's talking to the believers. For they, the Christians, will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance for their own desires and will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. Folks, I am personally seeing this happen at an alarming rate. We know it's going to happen, but it's happening at a faster rate than I thought. But you, who's that? That's us. You, us. We who are alert and awake to what's happening, we're supposed to be sober in all things, enduring hardship, doing the work of an evangelist, and fulfilling our ministry. Jesus himself in Matthew 24 warned us also that see to it that no one misleads you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will mislead many. And of course, the greatest admonition in regards, I think, to this presentation tonight, and I think that this is a dialogue that's going to have to change in the church. I don't think we're properly labeling Islam. I don't think we're properly dealing with Islam. In fact, we're going in the absolute wrong direction with Islam. Rather than understanding what Islam is and the ideology of Islam, now I'm not talking about individual Muslims. You can't blanket all Muslims. Just like today, if you say in America, I'm a Christian, what does that mean? I hope you would ask some follow-up questions. What kind of a Christian are you? Do you believe in the inerrancy of the Word of God? Do you believe that we are to obey His commands? Do you believe that Jesus is the only way? I've talked to so-called Christians who don't believe He's the only way. I have to remind them lovingly that you're not a Christian. I'm sorry, a Christian is a follower of Christ, right? But we're too afraid to say those things because we don't want to offend anybody. Well, I think it's time that we start offending some people. Because if we love them, we risk speaking the truth in love to them, which may offend them, but it may just offend them to the truth. So, in the regards to Islam specifically, why are we not talking about it? Look at what 1 John said. In the New Testament, there are four times that the word Antichrist is used. Three times in 1 John, once in 2 John. Now, the Antichrist is talked about probably over 70 times in Scripture, roundabout, but four times specifically the term Antichrist is used in the New Testament, and one of them here is in 1 John 4, 1-3. Look at what it says. Beloved, that's us, right? Do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist. Now, I don't know about you, that's pretty serious. If only four times the word Antichrist is used in the entire New Testament, and every reference to the word Antichrist in the New Testament that you see in these four references is that. Anti, against. It's not one who's coming to mimic Christ in these verses. It is the opposite. Because what is it saying? You believe Jesus is God and has come as the Son of God and in the flesh, you're from God. If you believe that He has not come in the flesh, you're of the spirit of Antichrist. Pretty clear? Of which you have heard that is coming and now it is already in the world. Now, there's a reason I'm prefacing that with this verse tonight. Because when we talk about apologetics, when we talk about defending our faith, we have to understand that we're obviously dealing also with spirit. It's spiritual. It's demonic. And the problem we have with Islam today is that the Christians and the missionaries and the pastors and the churches are turning Islam to like a buddy system. Let's just give Islam a big hug and we can just love Muslims that way. And what we don't understand is we're dealing with a demonic spirit that is the spirit of Antichrist. And I hope you'll see that tonight in the presentation. What is Chrislam, first of all? We're going to expose Chrislam, and we're going to expose, more importantly, this seductive lie. And the reason I said seductive is because it is very tempting to go down this road of believing that we have a common ground with Islam, common God, common word, and particularly that we can share sort of a future together and have peace and reconciliation and just get along and everything will be fine. It is not only a pipe dream, it is dangerous, deeply dangerous to the faith of Christians and to the salvation of Muslims. If we really love Muslims, then what this stuff is so, so destructive to their chance of coming to salvation, and it is going to lead Christians astray. I've already seen it. Christians are being led astray. And we're going to get more Christians converting to Islam. You'll see, if we don't get our act together. Now, what is Chrislam? Real quick, two claims. Number one claim, they have a common word. Those who say that Islam and Christianity, because remember, Chrislam, the idea of Chrislam is sort of a hybrid. Many church leaders will say, will deny using the term Chrislam. And they're right, they haven't used the term Chrislam. But they will claim that there is common ground, a common word. And we're going to look at a document here just in a few minutes. So number one claim is, the Bible and the Quran both are equal in authority, or both have authority, meaning they are divinely inspired. Now, quick question for you. Get your apologetics brains on for a second, right? If something is divine truth, what percentage of accuracy must it be? 100%, very good. Because we believe in absolute truth, right? That's a foundation of Scripture. Part of what you see in the postmodern world and in the postmodern church with a lot of the emergent church movement is now they must strike the inerrancy of the Word of God. In order to get along with the culture and reach the secular culture, we must not so much focus on absolutes. Well, if we don't have absolutes, we have no faith. You might as well throw it all in the garbage. Because either God is or He isn't. Either Christ is the Messiah or He isn't. So therefore, in this case, if the Bible, we believe, is the divine Word of God, that is inerrant in its original language and its original context, that means the Quran to be divine, their supposed holy book of Islam, must also have absolute truth, must be 100% true. Agree? If there are lies in that book, if there are contradictions, then you and I have to come to the conclusion, one is absolutely true, and one is absolutely from the pit of hell. Agree? No middle ground, right? You're now way ahead of most of the church, just by what you agreed upon. Because most of the church believes that there's a middle ground. And this is where we're heading. This movement towards this one world God, and one world religion, and one world belief system. And let's just, you call God Jehovah, and we say Allah, which is, by the way, the next claim. The claim that they're the same God. You know, what does it matter? We say God, you say God. Who cares? Let's just get along. Oh, I beg to differ. God cares. So we got to look at these two claims. And we're gonna refute these. Now, there are two subtenets before I get into kind of where it started. There are two subtenets I want to quickly cover with you. And that is that some will say there is a common love of God between Islam and Christianity. We're going to refute that. And there's a common love of neighbor between Islam and Christianity. We're going to refute that. But the two major claims are these ones that I put on the screen here and that we have to refute. So where does it start? Well, the compromise of the gospel of Jesus Christ has happened since the beginning of the gospel, right? But specifically, we've seen it in the last generation and a half, in places like Africa. And in the DVD, I show you a little clip of a so-called church, a Chrislamic congregation in Nigeria. Nigeria used to be predominantly Christian. It was a Christian nation. As Islam has gained the upper hand in Nigeria, and now they're about 50-50, there's been much fighting and much war. So people have come along and said, we have the solution. Let's make peace. Let's have co-services together. Let's have a service where we have the Quran and we have the Bible and we yell Allah Akbar and we supposedly do worship to Jesus Christ and let's just all get along. And some of you like me are going, excuse me? I would pray that if you and I walked into a church where they had an imam and the Quran was being taught, that we turn around and first of all we'd warn about 10, 20, 30 people around us and then we leave. The problem is that's not happening because most Christians have no discernment today because we have too much milk in the church and we're not being taught the Word of God. Therefore, we're not discerning the spirits. Remember what 1 John said? test the spirits. We're supposed to be testing. We're supposed to be judging. We're supposed to be discerning. And the greater the deception comes, we have to be ready for it. Now, it doesn't just stay in Africa, in countries like Nigeria, where you see this common bond. It's coming to Europe. As Heinz was talking about the multiculturalism effort, Europe was perfect for that. We're going to be multicultural. We're going to live side by side with Muslims, and we're going to get along. Well, the problem is the Muslims don't want to live side by side. Islam teaches that it must segregate and eventually gain the upper hand. That's what Islam teaches. That's the ideology of Islam. That's the long-term goal of Islam. So when we talk about what is Chrislam, I want you to understand this, that from Europe, it is now into America. And if it's in America, it's in the world. Because our churches, we are still the greatest purveyor of the gospel in this nation. Even though we're in deep trouble as a nation, America still supports financially, and to some extent, I mean, there's other nations per capita that are sending more missionaries, but we are still a great purveyor of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So if it's infecting our churches here in America, you know it's around the world, and vice versa. So let's look at what the source of Chrislam really is, because it's not Nigeria, and it's not somebody's made-up idea. It's from the source that is the Quran. Now remember, the Quran is what? The Quran is believed to be the inspired word of their God, Allah, that was supposed to be dictated word for word to Muhammad. Muhammad, who goes into a cave, and according to his own words, believed that he was possessed by a demon, and he was actually going to go commit suicide. He said, "Woe to me," and he went on a cliff and he was going to commit suicide because he believed he was demon-possessed. This is the prophet of 1.6 billion people. He claims that he gets these revelations from this angel, who later he claims was the angel Gabriel. So when Muhammad got the revelation, the claim is that the Quran is the dictated word of Allah, word for word, in perfect Arabic. The problem is, if you look at the Quran and the source of Quran, you find other words other than Arabic. You find lots of contradiction. You find lots of misinformation. You find lots of places where they try to quote the Bible and they get facts wrong. How about this one? Did you know that the Quran teaches that the legitimate son of Abraham was Ishmael? And that Ishmael was going to be sacrificed in Mecca? Did you know that? You go, oops, that's kind of a big detail, isn't it? Isaac was supposed to be the legitimate seed. They say Ishmael, and we go, oh, it's a common book. No, you're going to see that that's their intent. Their intent from the very beginning, the intent of the enemy in inspiring Islam is to refute Jesus Christ. It's to deny the very deity and function of Jesus Christ. And what better way to deny Jesus Christ than deny the lineage of Jesus Christ? You see, if Isaac was not the legitimate seed, there is no Messiah, right? There is no Messiah, because the Messiah came from the lineage of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, not from the lineage of Ishmael. So you go, well, why would the Quran want to do that? Well, it goes back to its fundamental purpose, that Muhammad believes that he was given revelation because he was to refute the people of the book. You go, who are the people of the book? Christians and Jews. So when it says here in Surah 3:4, O people of the book, come to a common word between us and you. You go, wow, look at that. They're reaching out to us. They want us to come to a common word between Islam and Christianity. How wonderful. Let's sit down and have coffee and look at the common word. And then look what it says. That we worship none but Allah, and that we associate no partners with Him, and none of us shall take others as lords beside Allah. Anybody want to guess what they're saying there? You Christians, you people of the book, stop believing that God was three. Stop believing in the Trinity. Stop believing that Jesus is God. Cut it out. So listen, let's come to a common word so we can correct you. How can you have a common word dialogue if one is trying to correct the other? Does that make any sense? And yet this is the basis with which many churches in America today are operating to try to reach out to Islam. Surah 3:4. Now I want you to notice I underlined that word there, come to a common word between us and you. It's very important because that didn't just stay in the Quran. This is a tactic of Islam. Now, You go, well, how is it getting into America? How is this really infiltrating our nation? We know it was in Africa. Okay, we see it in Europe, but it's not really happening in America, right? Wrong. So in 2006, a group of 130 Muslim scholars come together and write a letter. And they write a letter to the Christian community saying, we want to come together and seek peace and harmony and hold hands. And, oh, by the way, we got some issues with you Christians, and we really think you need to ask us for forgiveness because you've done some wrong to us. But we really believe we can reconcile Islam and Christianity together. And if we do that, we're going to be good to go. We're going to have peace. We're going to get along. We're going to do great things in the world. You want to guess what the letter was called? A common word between us and you. You go, gosh, where did they get that idea from? Surah 364. In fact, they cite Surah 364, but they put it in there instead of saying we worship none but Allah, they say we worship none but God. Aha. Anybody picking up what the tactic is? We worship none but God. So you and I as Christians go, oh, you're right, we worship none but God. No, that's not what it says in the language. We worship none but Allah, and we associate no partners with Him. Well, there's a big difference there. They also went on, as I said, to say, look, we need to have reconciliation. Now, in 2008, at the Yale Center for Faith and Culture, they draft a response. And this is the response right here up on the screen. It's called a common word. You notice that it's forwarded by Tony Blair, former Prime Minister of Great Britain, who's a known globalist, has been known... very well known in the ecumenical, one sort of, let's all, multi-faith, let's all get along, whole movement. And in 2008, Yale drafts a response called Loving God and Neighbor Together, a Christian response to a common word between us and you. And the Christians who supposedly signed this document agree that yes, number one, we should be focusing on reconciliation. Anybody have a problem with that? Reconciling Islam and Christianity. The 1400 years that Islam has been around, apparently, there was just a few misunderstandings. If we just get those misunderstandings right, we'll be good to go and we're going to have peace moving forward. And I know maybe you're thinking like me, you go, who would fall for this? The question is, who hasn't fallen for it? You hear what I'm saying, folks? Brothers and sisters in Christ, you hear what I'm saying? Who hasn't fallen for it? The majority are falling for this. So then, after the same...
All right, we're going to stop the tape right there today, but we'll pick right back up there tomorrow. That was Sharon Hardy, and he was talking about Chrislam Exposed. All right, thank you so kindly for joining us. Listen to us all day long, because we're in your corner, right here. On Ghostbusters.
Don't let the devil ride. 'Cause he's